Jeremiah, chapter number 17 and verse number 9. Thank you for setting the prayer room on fire. Makes my task of ministry somewhat easier. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Ezekiel chapter number 28 makes this statement. Ezekiel chapter number 28 makes this statement. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God," speaking about the position that Lucifer once held, "Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom, you are perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. I have set thee also. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Till iniquity was found in thee. Probably will not be anything like you would normally expect to hear me preach. But I have wrestled with God. And I think I will advantage the situation a little better if I'll listen to Him instead of my flesh. I will minister today from this subject. When iniquity is unveiled. When iniquity is unveiled. Lift your hands up and pray that God would anoint the man of God tonight. In Jesus' name. God has sent me to this church tonight with a message. I'm asking God to open up your heart, your mind, your spirit, with the right attitude to receive what God has sent me with. We don't need music. Matter of fact, I want all my preachers down. I want all my singers down. I want all my musicians down. Thank you so much. The unveiling of iniquity. You can be seated. Tonight I'm going to deal with the subject of iniquity in the hearts of men. I'll start by telling you that for you to adequately extract from this message what God would like to say, you'll have to understand that there are certain differences in the types of sin that our Bible describes. In God's eyes, sin is sin, and all of them will have their reward. But in the Bible's layout, we see that there's one category. There seems to be four categories of sin dealt with. The first one is simply called sin. That's committed against oneself, committed against somebody else. It's sin. Then there's transgressions. Transgression is the open iniquity, defiance of the word and the laws of God. Transgression means you know what the Word of God says and you choose anyway to do what you want. Transgression means that You understand before you ever start that God's Word speaks against it. You make a deliberate choice to do it your way. There's abominations. Probably the easiest way for me to describe what an abomination is to tell you it's a thing that sickens God. One place God said, even their sacrifices are an abomination to me. They offer sacrifices to try to hide other sins. And he said, I cannot away with it. In other words, God said, I've chewed it, but I can't swallow it. I cannot away with it. And then there is this thing called iniquity. Of all the sins that are preached about, of all the aspects that are dealt with, perhaps iniquity is the one that we preach about the least, Brother Brian. Iniquity is a sin against God Himself. Understand with me that iniquity is a sin that doesn't have to be committed against another person. Iniquity is a sin that does not have to be committed in direct violation of God's Word. It's a sin against God Himself. And to understand a little better how this can be, let me give you the actual definition. The definition according to Strong's, according to the word iniquity, means a gross injustice to God. Let me say it this way. Iniquity is a carnal weakness hidden deep inside somebody's flesh that God just doesn't deserve. God, justice says God gives and we receive. Justice says God invests and we flourish. Justice says God blesses and we bless God. But iniquity is that spirit that looks at what God gives and refuses to apply it. Iniquity is that thing that looks at what God invests and ignores and neglects it. Iniquity is that thing that looks at what God blesses us with and we cast it down as though it's nothing. I want you to realize today that it is a gross injustice to be a part of a dynamic church where God gives, invests, and blesses if all you're giving back is a dysfunctional, weak, and half-hearted relationship to Him. That is iniquity. Iniquity is setting in a church like we have, setting in an environment like we have, setting in the midst of the glory that we have and producing nothing more than you were 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 30 years ago. That is a gross injustice to God. It's a gross injustice against God. And you need to understand the thing that sets iniquity apart is that you can look saved, you can talk saved, you can act saved, and all the while a spirit of iniquity can be deep within your heart. It's hidden somewhere on the inside of a man. It's a gross injustice against God. It's a slap in the face of God for pressing you to be more. It's a resentful spirit that carelessly ignores the urging of God to stand up and be stronger. It's what the Bible calls iniquity. Is anybody listening to me tonight? There's another interesting aspect of iniquity that you need to know tonight. It's possible that you can have iniquity in your heart and not even acknowledge it there. It's possible that you can have iniquity in your spirit and not even have a conscious understanding that that thing is lying resident inside of you. It's possible to think that because you're not sinning against the Bible and you're not sinning against anybody else, that everything is all right. As long as I'm living by the standards of the church, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, then I must be okay. But I ask you tonight, abundant life, not just abundant life, I ask individuals in here, it's time to step out of the conglomerate in the environment. You're individuals. You got a soul. You're not going to heaven just because abundant life's going to heaven. You're not going to be saved just because abundant life's going to be saved. You're not right because the majority of abundant life is right. I'm asking you, is God getting a just return on the principles and the spirituality that He's invested in you? Have you seriously sought to recompense the Lord on His investment by steadily moving up higher in God? Your flesh might not be sinning against the Bible. Your tongue might not be sinning against anybody else. But I want to ask you today, is iniquity in your heart because you don't have the principles and the character that God has tried to invest in you over the years? I want to ask you tonight, is there iniquity somewhere inside of your spirit? Because there's something in you that refuses to get over this, refuses to get over that. Iniquity is that spirit that tells your flesh you don't have to be anymore for God. Regardless of how much God tries to lure you deeper into a real relationship with Him, to give yourself to unholy temptation is sin. To intentionally ignore God's word is transgression. But iniquity can be found solely in the heart of a careless saint. Iniquity is that silent spirit that rides on the saddle of complacency when you're not mindful of God's attempts to draw you closer. Iniquity is that spirit that's... Are you listening to me tonight, ma'am? I want you to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. Iniquity is that spirit that's bred inside the person that doesn't give heed to the power of God in our services. Iniquity is that thing that grows inside of a man when you don't make any attempts to get something out of the sermon. Iniquity is that thing that grows inside of you when you never take a step towards God's will for your life. Most people don't realize that your lack of involvement, your neglecting to participate, your avoidance to respond to God's word doesn't just lie there dormant in your spirit. It's an open invitation to a spirit of iniquity that will send you to hell as quick as a $10 prostitute or a $1,000 a week crack cocaine addiction. You've got to understand it's sin in God's eyes, whether it's open sin in front of them or it's something hidden down inside of your heart. You've got to understand the power of iniquity. Sin others can see. Transgression others can see. There's something about iniquity. Iniquity is a lack of character and principle that lays there dormant that nobody can put their eyes on, Brother Daniel, until somehow it's revealed inside of you. Iniquity cannot be seen with a mortal eye. Most of the time, iniquity is that thing that's got to be revealed. When just the right circumstance comes by, when just the right environment is there, when everything gets just perfect, then all of a sudden it starts unveiling itself. I've come to tell you it's possible for iniquity to hide within the veils of your heart. And you can come to church and look the part and act the part and talk the part. And still something inside your spirit that's not right, that's not where it needs to be with God. You haven't sold out into God, to God for so long. You don't remember when the last time you were lost in the spirit was. You don't remember the last time you crawled off your knees without bitterness towards a brother or sister was. You don't remember when the last time you got off your knees and loved the man of God. You don't remember when that was. You want to know why? Because there's something you're not taking care of when you come to church. There's an iniquity in your spirit that you refuse to get over, but you've got to understand with me. The Bible said that iniquity is a real thing. Remember the word of God said, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Who really knows the heart of a man? God said, I know. I know you. That's why you can talk to two parties. And I've done it even this day. You can talk to two parties and both of them think they're right. But you've got to understand there's something about iniquity. There's something. The ways of a man's always right in his own eyes. That's why you don't judge yourself by yourself. You've got to judge yourself according to the word. You've got to judge yourself according to the oracles of God's laws. The Lord went on to say, only I know what's in the heart of the man. I'm the one that's capable of seeing iniquity behind the veil. That's why David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And God, I don't want to see it myself. I want you to tell me if there be any wicked way inside of me. You've got to help me. You've got to show me. You've got to let me see it. Before I go on, you just let me preach for a little while right now. You better learn how to lay your spirit open before God. There's a reason. Some people don't really pray because they're afraid what God will show them when they pray. It's easy to look into our deceptive mirrors and say, I got my sleeves to here, and I got my skirts to here, and my hair's within the guidelines, and I'm not adorned with a bunch of jewelry. But when you get into the real spirit of prayer, it demands that you look at yourself in comparison to His holiness and to His righteousness. And that's when you have to deal with the part that nobody else sees. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody in here tonight. You might as well listen to me. Child of God, it's better to confront your iniquity in a prayer room than it is to have to deal with your iniquity when it's finally unveiled in the eyes of others. I'm going to expose some spirits tonight. I'm going to pull them out. I've got the bait. I'm going to pull them out. Because I want iniquity to unveil itself in this service tonight. Because I want you to understand everything that says it's saved. Everything that says, Lord, Lord, is not saved. Somewhere along the line, if you're not careful, iniquity will unveil itself inside of that individual. Iniquity has a way of lying deep in the heart of a man before it's ever unveiled for somebody to see. For that cause, there's got to be a sincere searching of your own heart. An evaluation of what you are compared to what God's trying to make you. Can I be God honest with you here today? I've crucified myself time and again when people backslide and walk out on God, and I've allowed my spirit to be tormented by guilt and condemnation when somebody sins, when they wander away from the church. I wonder where I failed in giving them the word of God. I've wearied myself wondering where the church failed. Did we fail to provide the proper atmosphere? But I've come to tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with the church. Like Moses, I've been on the mountain. I've got the blueprint. I've seen God's plan. When I look at the blueprint of God's church, I've got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with the church, and there's nothing wrong with the preaching that goes over across this pulpit. There's nothing wrong with the leadership in the church. But God keeps pressing my spirit today to understand afresh what I've really known all along. When a man fails God, when a man walks away from a strong church, a church that has plenty of, I don't care what anybody else said, you're not going to find preaching everywhere you go. When you see somebody that walks away from a strong church, when you see somebody that walks away from strong worship, when you see somebody that walks away from a church that's preaching and mourning, they could blame it on a lot of things, but the fact is, it's just an iniquity that was already in their heart, revealing itself. It's been there all along. I look around this building tonight, and there's some of you. I could crucify myself and say, why in the world are they in that condition? I'm not going to crucify myself anymore. I realize you're only going to go so far. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And that's why you can't be any closer to God. That's why you don't draw any closer to God. Because there's something inside your spirit that's not right, lady. There's something inside your spirit, sir. You've never really crucified. And all we're waiting for is for iniquity to be unveiled. Let me just preach tonight. They can blame it on anything they want to. But it's just iniquity in their heart that's waiting to be unveiled. They can blame it on their brother, their sister, the preacher, the singers, the music, how hot it is, how cold it is, how loud it is, how quiet it is. But you need to realize the real problem's in their heart. They allowed something in their spirit to be idle long enough that iniquity finally found a resting place behind the veneer of their Pentecostalism. I come to you tonight to tell you that if iniquity's in your heart, it will be revealed eventually. Oh, yes, it will. God was speaking about the spirit of the Antichrist one day, and then he makes a very general statement about all humanity in general. And he said, for the mystery of iniquity, this hidden iniquity, this quiet iniquity that hides in the shadows of a man's heart, the iniquity that's a mystery to the very heart of man, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Let me explain something about iniquity. Iniquity is not the thing that everybody gets to see. It's not the short sleeves, and it's not the split skirts, and it's not the cut hair, and it's not the jewelry dangling from the ears and the neck and the nose and everywhere else. Iniquity is not like that. Iniquity is that thing that you just got to watch it long enough, and eventually it will reveal itself. God said, here, I'll reveal the Antichrist, but I tell you what else I'm going to reveal. I'm going to reveal those that sit in the pews with passive praise and iniquity in their hearts. I will reveal them. There's always a risk by uncovering the adversary, but since I'm willing to take that risk tonight, let me tell you a secret about iniquity. A pastor doesn't always need discernment. He doesn't. I've learned that if I just keep preaching the Word of God long enough, given time, iniquity is going to reveal itself. It'll be in your actions. It'll be in the way you lean over and whisper to the one beside you. It'll be in the way you roll your eyes. It'll be in the look that crosses your face when somebody says something wrong. I come to hear the other night, somebody said, Brother Stacy made a statement when he was preaching that if we had $1 million in the building fund and Brother White decided to take it all, that's between Brother White and God, and that you gave it to God. Well, part of that's right and part of it's not right. The fact is, if you gave it to God, if somebody steals it, whatever they do, you still gave it to God. Your reward's the same, but God would smite me down for doing something like that. But here's what I've got to wonder about. I've got to wonder about some of the attitudes and some of the faces and some of the remarks, and I've got to wonder about some of that. Could it be that somewhere in the innocence of a man trying to preach the pure Word of God, something rolls up and says, what is that, bro? I tell you what it is. Iniquity just revealed itself. Iniquity's in there. It's somewhere in there. It's trying to rise up. It's trying to show others what you really are made of, because you see, God has a way. God has a way of allowing iniquity to just reveal itself. You can be assured, maybe by your actions, maybe by the way your refusal to respond to God's word, maybe by the way that everybody else comes up around the altar and you sit there in a pew unmoved, unfazed, undazed, maybe by your bored expression, but you can be assured that iniquity is eventually going to reveal itself, and it's going to expose what's in the heart of men and women. And you know what's so funny? Sometimes the pastor sees, he can't say a word about it, but it's just got to be revealed to the people. I just came from a place where a friend of mine was telling me how that his pastor, who's been here to preach, good friend of ours, good, you listen, this church loves him. We were just talking, and he was having a problem. There was a man on his platform that was doing things and acting in ways that he shouldn't be acting. He was doing things he shouldn't be doing. And the pastor said, I'm going to have mercy on him. I'm going to show you. I do believe in mercy. I just also believe there comes a time you've got to confront some ugly spirits. That's what I'm here to do tonight. He called him in the office and he said, brother, you're on the platform, you're doing this, you lead that, but I've come to find out that this is here and that's in your home and that's this is going on and you're doing this. And he said, brother, I just want you to pray about it. He said, I'm not trying to scold you, I just want you to pray about it and see if maybe you shouldn't come in line. And the man leaned up seething in the pastor's face and said, you pray about it yourself. Pastor said, brother, I don't want it to be that way. I'm just telling you, you need to pray about it. Let's see what God has to say. He said, I ain't praying about it. You pray about it. Told him, said, you pray about it. I'm not praying about it. You pray about it. I'm not going to pray about it. Well, brother, I'm going to give you a week. I want you to pray and search your hearts. And so time went on, and the man come out, and oh, he still looked the part, his sleeves and his hair and everything. Oh, he was fine. He was nothing wrong with him. He was just a good saint. He was just up on the platform. He just, from outward expressions, everybody would think that he was the greatest thing since peanut butter. But then all of a sudden, a visiting evangelist comes in, and the visiting evangelist gets in the pulpit, and he says, I want to thank God for men like your pastor, men that are going to stand for truth, men that are going to love God. Evangelist didn't know anything. I want to thank God for men that are not afraid to preach truth. He said, this man's a good friend. This man loves his church. And all of a sudden, the same man that was in the office a few weeks before, he jumps up, Brother Dale, and he stomps down the aisle, and he's rolling his eyes. Oh, no, no, he wasn't going to the bathroom. That was just iniquity unveiling itself. After church, one of the saints walked up and was praying with him. He said, brother, we're praying for you that God works it out. He said, oh, he's going to work it out, but it's going to be in a way you don't expect. God's going to run that gate. Hey, it's unveiling. It's something in the heart of a man that's not right. It's not right. Did you hear me, abundant life? It's something in there that's not right. Give it time. It'll unveil. I'm in the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel enough anointing in here tonight. I'm not afraid of you or your devils. Let me preach to you. I want to deal with another damnable situation. When somebody fails God, or a church hopper wants to go to a weaker church, their iniquity seems to pull the iniquity out of others. If there's something in there, that's why you have some that sit back and say, well, if Brother White had done this, if Brother White had done this, or if the church had done this, or if the church had done that. I want to tell you right now, there's some people who don't have a made-up mind. Their soul couldn't be saved if they lived in the same house as the preacher. There are some people who wouldn't be saved if they lived in the church and slept on the altar. They're not going to be saved because they never made up their mind to serve God. They're not saved because they've got iniquity in their heart they've never overcome. But the saddest part is by making a statement like that or allowing the enemy to sow doubt and discord in your mind, it becomes painfully evident that another man's iniquity out of hiding. And all of a sudden the iniquity begins to crawl out of you. Where did it come from? I'll tell you where it was there all the time. It just had to have the right environment to come out. I think, I want to say something else right now. I think it's amazing, some people that don't feel qualified to try to win a soul, they feel totally qualified to counsel and sympathize with people that walk around with their feelings on their shoulder all the time. You want to know what that is? It's just iniquity trying to unveil itself. You want to know what they're like? I'll tell you what they're like. Like an old catfish. I love catfish, man. I went to Lumberton the other day. I told my wife, I want catfish. That place in Lumberton, Brother Dale, they got good catfish there. And you can throw peanut hulls on the floor and all that. I like all that, but oh, I like the catfish, Sister Brown. But you know what a catfish is? It's a scavenger. It's something that feeds on dead things in the bottom of the ocean. It's the rivers and stuff. It's there. But you know the amazing thing about a catfish? A catfish will lay on the bottom of that dirty, muddy water and it'll flop around until the mud begins to cover it. And it'll lay there covered up in that mud and covered up in all that mess. It'll lay there covered up under the sediment of things that float down that dirty river. It'll lay there underneath all of that mud and all that. You know what it does? It lays there until the right thing comes by to lure it out of its hiding. I want to tell you that's exactly what iniquity's like. Iniquity has a way of wallowing its way back up in the recesses of your heart. And it lay. I told you this is not like normal, Brother White, preaching tonight, but I'm just as anointed right now as if I was screaming 300 decibels. You better listen to me tonight. I've come tonight to confront an ugly spirit. I've come tonight to confront some things that shouldn't be going on. I've come tonight to tell you not everything that says, Lord, Lord's really saved. We're going to reveal it tonight. I'm going to tell you how to recognize it. All you got to do is look and see what it takes to lure that thing out of their spirit. You let the right bait come by, Brother Fred, and that catfish is going to start kicking the mud off of the dirt, and it's going to kick up a storm of dirt because you finally lured it out. The iniquity's finally come out. I mean, what does it take to lure that thing out? I'll tell you what it is. For some people, all it takes is for the pastor not to handle things the way they think he should handle it. They don't know that pastor's already been there, and pastor's already been dealing with it, and pastor's already been counseling it, and pastor's already been praying about it. So they sit back and say, well, if Brother White was really a man of God, if pastor was this, if pastor was that. Watch out! Iniquity just unveiled itself. If Brother White was really this, he don't really understand. You don't understand. I've already been there, baby. For some, it's revealed in the very way they speak about the pastor. Well, I love Brother White. I really love him. Oh, he's this, yeah, but he worries me with this, that, or another. You want to know what that is? Let me tell you what it is. That's not just idle talk. That's iniquity trying to kick the dirt off and show you what's really on the inside of it. For some, it's revealed in the way they talk about money. Birdie with the yellow bill hopped upon my windowsill, said, preacher, well, listen closely, son. They're talking about the building fund. Eternal souls you'll save from hell. They trust you'll lead them to heaven well. Then why with the money belonging to him, they think you'll be a foolish man? You better listen to me, ma'am. I know what's going on. I know you. And you know what I found out? It's not just one birdie. There have been three or four birdies that have come whispered in my ear. And I found out when there's that many birdies talking, there's a whole lot of worm moving. So you need to be quiet, ma'am. I want to say this to you. You better listen to me very carefully. It's going to cost you your soul, ma'am. It's going to cost the soul of your husband. It's going to cost the soul of your family. It's going to cost... You're going to drive people out of the church by your idle talk. You want to know what's going on in the building fund? Come to me. I'll show you what's going on in the building fund. I'm not here to steal anybody's money. Right? One of the reasons I preach out now is because I do that to make extra money to do what I need to do. I'm trying to tell somebody in this house tonight, you need to trust God. How is it? How in the name of God is it? You can trust me to get your soul to heaven. But you can't trust me to get your money to the bank. My God, why don't you pay through? You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Iniquity! Iniquity! Just unveil itself! Let me just go a little step further tonight. I'm not talking about those that I called at a meeting the other night. I had a meeting. I'm not talking about any of those that was in the meeting the other night. I had that meeting because I needed your input. I needed your... What I'm talking about is that thing. What is that? Ungodly spirit! That's the question. Why this? Why that? You want to know what it is? You can't find fault anywhere else, and there's something better in your spirit, and you've got to find fault. I'll tell you what it is. Unveiled itself. Oh, I can't believe this one told it, that one told it. It wasn't just one or two told it. There were several of them had to tell it. That shows me there's a whole lot of worm moving around. What does it take to lure it out? I'll tell you what takes to lure it out. It's the spirit that some of you have right now because Brother White's confronted it. What is it? What is your face red for? What are you angry for? What are you having a hard time swallowing for? Why is your heart pounding? I'll tell you why. Because you're scared to death. You're going to let it be revealed in front of others, the iniquity that's in your heart. I think we better pray right now. I think you've tore up other environments. You're not going to tear up this environment. You've let that spirit run rampant in other environments. It's not going to happen here. I have nothing to hide. I'll show you anything I got, honey. But I want to tell you what I want. I will not sit back and let your iniquity somehow. I will not sit back and let your iniquity destroy others. You better listen to me today. I'm preaching to you that living for God is more than living standards. Living for God is making sure that your sleeves are right, your hands right, your dress is right. But it's also making sure your spirit is right, your attitudes are right. I'm talking about having a Holy Spirit, an attitude to match your holy attire. It's more than just opening your mouth to critics. Go on. You don't trust me anymore now. You need to go to another church anyway. Let me get this straight. You trust me to deliver you from the hand of Satan. You trust me to get you in the gates of heaven. But you don't trust me to take your money to the bank and do what it needs to be done in the kingdom. That's not my problem, baby. That's your problem.
Oh, it's more. Go on, go on, go on! See how soon church can be over so you can go home, your husband, tell your wife, call the others. See how soon church can get over so you can call your friends, say, I can't believe he did this. You know what, if I was you, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be scared to death to say anything because the ones you've been talking to, been talking to. And the thing is, they love your soul. They're concerned enough about your soul. They said, Pastor, I'm scared to death they're going to be lost. And it's not just one or two. It's been several of them. So I'm not afraid tonight to stand in this pulpit and tell you, you better be careful. You just unveiled your iniquity, man. That's what an altar's for. It's more than just opening your mouth. It's iniquity pulling the veil off. It's more than just stating your opinion. It's iniquity crawling through the veil. Oh, if I preached on some external sin, if I got up here tonight and preached on spirit spirits, and I preached on a lot of things, there's a lot of things tonight that some of you are just shouting, and dancing, and hollering about. But I'm not talking about sin against the Bible. I'm not talking about sin against the standards. I'm talking about a sin against God Himself. It's a gross injustice for you to have that attitude as good as God's been to you. It's a gross injustice to God for you to have that mentality. When He kept your family together, when He saved you, when everything was torn apart, it's an injustice to God. Since I've already committed myself, let's deal with some other areas here. No, you haven't gone out and committed murder. You haven't gone on a drinking binge. You just sat in one place so long, the spirit of iniquity found a comfortable place to reside. And all of a sudden, iniquity can only sit there so long before the little catfish gets to watering and the dirt gets to flying. We're pressed into the mind of the church, pressed into the Spirit of God. He told us to do the reach, teach, care thing, to involve some of you, to find the place where you fit in the kingdom. Now, after all this time, there's some of you that are still sitting idle. And you know what somebody told me the other day? Find the position, Brother White. If they'll just give me a title, tell me what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll do it. Whoever invented the idea that if you're going to do something for God, you've got to have a title. I've seen people excuse themselves from working for God because they didn't have a title, because they weren't called youth leader, because they weren't called tape ministry director. The greatest title you have, honey, is Christian. And to be a Christian, you've got to be Christ-like. And Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. I want to tell you God's requirements for you. God knows that the cream always rises to the top. God's never going to go deep dipping in the barrel to find somebody. Real cream's going to rise to the top. He'll use those that don't need a title and do something for God. He'll use those that don't need a title to rise to the occasion of the bare hand. He'll use those that consistently stay on top of the situation. They don't need a prayer meeting to pray. They don't need a fast day to fast. They don't need a title to work. They don't need a position to witness. Who's God going to use? That one. You really want to do the work for God and you desire to do it, it's uncontrollable. All you really have to do is go to the prayer room. That's why I bless my heart to hear that prayer room on fire tonight. Brother Chapman walked in and said, Brother White, I'm sorry. I wasn't here on time, but the prayer room was alive. Oh, that blesses the heart of a pastor. You can do more in a prayer room than you ever do in a pulpit. You can do more in a prayer room than you ever do on an instrument. You'll do more in a prayer room than you'll ever do with a microphone in your hand. All you got to do is find it close in a prayer. You really want to do something for God? Get around this altar and move through this city with a spirit of prayer. Of course, that's not enough exposure for people who want to be elevated themselves. A prayer room just isn't glorious enough for those that want the glory for themselves. You really want to do something for God? Why don't you pick a Bible up in your hand and start walking around this sanctuary, creating an atmosphere of worship? You really want to do something for God? Why don't you find a sinner and tell them Jesus still loves them? Why don't you find a backslider? Tell them how great the church is doing. There's a difference in really wanting to do something for God and wanting to be noticed for what you're wanting to do for God. Instead, there are those that sit around, they refuse to get involved. They fold their arms and say, it's not my job to do that. What you're really saying is, if I can't elevate myself, I'm not going to elevate the kingdom. And iniquity just unveiled itself. I don't have half an idea why I'm here right now. I'm just here because God told me to be here. So I'm going to go ahead and preach to you today. It's time to get a grip on your spirit and confront iniquity through prayer and dedication. I'm preaching beyond your flesh. I'm trying to reach in your heart. I'm trying to get you to look into the hidden rooms of your heart, because if I know, if iniquity's in there, someday it's going to unveil itself for others to see. That's why they're coming to me, man. That's why these situations have exploded, sir. Because God said enough iniquity. It's time to reveal it. Could that be, Brother Randy, why God said those things that are done in secret are going to be shouted from the housetops? Because you leave that thing secretly hidden in your heart long enough, it won't be long until... I'm preaching to you because I'm worried about some of you. I'm worried about that hidden thing in your heart that causes some of you to walk to the border of backslidden every 3 or 4 months. Why don't you take a good look at your heart and ask yourself, why am I fighting the same struggle I fought 6 months ago and I fought it 6 months before? I'm telling you that your temper, your gossip, your weakness is more than just human nature. It's the unveiling of an iniquity in your heart. There's something hidden in your heart that you've never gotten over and you need to get over it. What unwritten law says that you got to tumble to the bottom every 3 months? What unwritten law, lady, says that you got to get on the border of backslid and gossip about the pastor and about his family and about the leaders every 3 months? It's not God. God said you're more than conquerors. I am convinced that when you love God, there's nothing that can cause you to backslide. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. If you found God, it's not a matter of external pressures. It's a matter of internal iniquity. You didn't hear me, so I'm going to say it again. If you fail God, it's not external pressures. It's not pastor. It's not the church. It's internal iniquity. A few years ago, Lord dealt with me to go to this individual no longer here. I don't often do that until God tells me. This bothers some of you, but the fact is I don't have time to chase people who don't want to live for God. Every day I live, I hear the loss of this city crying out. I don't care if I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. I don't care if I'm preaching a camp meeting in the deepest, darkest woods of Oregon. Every day I'm on my knees saying, God, save my city. Save my people. I've got the entire city going to hell. I don't have time to rock or bottle feed babies that don't want to live for God. But this particular day, the Lord directed me to go to this individual. Royce was still here at the time. I took Royce with me and I said, Royce, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but something's not right. I want you to go with me. We went, we knocked on the door. I tried to speak to her about her soul, about being a pastor to her as an individual. And within the first 2 minutes of talking to her, that individual looked at me and said, nobody tells me what to do. No man's ever controlled me. And with that statement, Brother Brabham, immediately iniquity was unveiled. 1,000 of her excuses were washed away the second that iniquity was unveiled in her spirit. No, it wasn't this. It wasn't the other sisters. It wasn't none of that. It was iniquity in her own spirit. Nobody's ever told me what. No man going to control me. I want to tell you something. It's more than just a shortcoming. It's more than just a weakness. Anytime your life doesn't match up to what God so graciously invested in you, it's a gross injustice to God. It's iniquity. Well, you're very quiet tonight, so I think I'm going to preach a little bit. That's why it's so dangerous for God to send a dynamic service and some of you sit back so unconcerned. Well, I'm tired. Well, I had to work today. Well, you better check it out and realize it's more than just a weary body. It's probably just iniquity saying, I'm not going to do anything. It's more, church, you listen to me. Abundant life, listen to me. It's time for pastor to be pastor tonight. It's time for you to understand what the story is. Some people don't worship not because they're tired, not because they had a hard day. It's iniquity unveiling itself. And when they sit there with their arms folded, when they sit there without one praise being lifted, God, it's not just being weary. I've had about 4 or 5 hours sleep in the last 72, but he's still worthy. He's still powerful. He's still worthy of my praise. No. Watch it. News come out right now. I don't care. The ones that aren't doing anything, you just want iniquity just unveiled itself. There's not everything that says, Lord, Lord, is going to be saved. I've seen them in days gone by. We used to have bad problems, especially with one of them. Loved to roll their eyes and shake their heads when everybody else stood up. What's even worse now is that I've lived long enough, I've seen certain factions just sit there idle while the entire fire of God was on the fire of God was on the rest of the church. They were on their feet worshiping, singing, preaching. Don't you understand that you're sitting there? It's not just a sign that you're... Listen to me right now. It's not just a sign that you're tired. When you're sitting there, it's just a sure sign that not only are you not on fire, you're not even pursuing the fire. Even if I didn't feel enough joy to get up and worship, even if I didn't feel enough strength to get up and shout, I'd get up on my feet just to see if I could find it. Because I'm not going to leave myself in that condition forever. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to seek Him. sitting there tells everybody else, you're not even concerned about the fact that the fire's gone out. It's just iniquity unveiling itself. I've seen them get angry when the worship leader tells them to get involved. Come on, everybody, get on your feet. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. I've seen them get angry and shake their head. The reason it upsets you is because you know deep on the inside, your heart can't really get involved in the service without your body getting involved in the service. Even the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the external is going to move. What's on the inside is going to be revealed on the outside. And some people really don't want to worship because whether it be gratitude to God or whether it be iniquity in their heart, when God really starts moving, something's going to be unveiled. You're going to show everybody how grateful you are by your worship. You're going to sit back here in your selfishness and arrogance and say, I ain't doing it iniquity. Just what? Maybe you need to check your spirit. The heart's deceitfully wicked. It may be that your heart's telling you it's weariness, when on the inside of your heart, it's really just an issue. And how about this question? What's the thing that makes some of you angry when weak saint says amen? Let's just go ahead and hit all the bases tonight, okay? Yes, I've got some weak saints. That's what preaching like this is all about. Yes, I've got some saints that struggle from time to time. That's what preaching like this is all about. But what is that thing in you, lady, that rolls your eyes when certain ones say amen, that maybe haven't lived up to everything they should be? Is it that you're the great defender of spirituality, or is it just the unveiling of a self-righteous spirit of iniquity inside? Amen means truth. And even when I was a sinner, I knew the Bible was truth. Why don't you get your eyes off somebody else and let the Holy Ghost search behind the veil of your heart for the iniquity that's manifesting itself? And since I'm already here, let's go ahead and deal with it. What's that spirit that gets angry at preaching? What is that? I know here for several services in a row, I was trying to push you guys. God was telling me, draw them closer to me. They need to be closer. And I do it, and I come to the pulpit, and some of you roll your eyes and act like you got this attitude. This, well, here we go again. He's pushing us again. Well, we're not doing it right again. Do you understand? I'm trying to do one thing. I'm trying to get you where God told me to get you to. I'm just trying to get you where God wants you to be. Oh, I can quit preaching like this. I had one lady, again, she's not here. I had one lady, when I get to preaching, she'd look over at other saints and say, why don't he just preach the word? I was already preaching more word than she was living. It's not a matter of preaching more word. Why don't you live it? Why don't you live it? Why don't you live it? I think it's amazing. Sometimes when the anointing's flowing like it is, oh, you know what's neat? I can go off to other churches and I can call people out and I can prophesy. I can do all that same business right here, just like some of these preachers we have come through. But you don't pastor a church with gifts. You pastor a church with word. You can't pastor with gifts. You can have evangelists with gifts. But you got to pastor a church by and large with word. But honey, that doesn't mean I don't hear. That don't mean I don't see. I've been preaching before and the Spirit of God speak to me. I've seen people whisper to one and the Spirit of the Lord tell me exactly what they said. I knew. No, I knew because when I addressed it, they got that sick look on their face. I didn't even have to look at the look on their face. I just understood because I heard from God. When you hear from God, nothing else matters. You know what I think we better do? I think everybody in here ought to lift your hands up because I'm really serious about preaching right now. Why don't he just preach the word? All you did was open your mouth and unveil your iniquity. I could preach, you know what? I thought about it again today, Brother Paul. I could quit preaching like this, and I could make a few people happy. But on the other hand, if I quit preaching like this, I'd break the heart of every soul in this building that wants real preaching, that wants real apostolic. If I quit preaching like this, I'd break the heart of everybody in this building. There's people here that don't want watered down words. They want truth. They don't want something they believe. They want truth. They don't want something we put together. They want truth. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to get you to confront iniquity. If you're angry at the words I'm preaching, you need to understand iniquity's already been unveiled. If I can confront your iniquity tonight, maybe we can pray it out and put you back in communion with God. Remember, the Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me make it real plain for you. You can sit there and say saved, act saved, claim saved, look saved, talk saved. But if you got something in your heart, it ain't no wonder your prayers aren't answered. It ain't no wonder when things go wrong, you got to run to somebody else. Please pray for me. They're going to do this. My family's falling apart. My marriage's falling. God don't listen to you. God don't hear you because you got iniquity in your heart. If I was you in this building and I wasn't getting a prayer through, the first thing I'd do is check my heart out. If you got iniquity in your heart, God's not going to listen to you. God's not going to pay attention. You know who you build a church on? The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure. Heaven is sealed. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's one thing to depart from fleshly sins. It's another thing to depart from transgression. But somewhere, you've got to come face to face with God. It's not everybody praying with you. It's not the rest of the church laying hands on you. You've got to lay before God and say, search me. Jimbo brought it back to mind this morning. He told a beautiful story this morning, phenomenal illustration. History tells a long time ago about the Shawnee Indians expanding, taking new territory. Among the many tribes they had to conquer was the Kickapoo Indians. As fate would have it, as soon as the Shawnee stepped into the Kickapoo territory, when you read history, as soon as the Shawnee stepped into Kickapoo territory, they came upon the Kickapoo braves in a hunting excursion. They found them as they were hunting in the battle. Many Kickapoo warriors were slain. Of the Kickapoo that remained, a small band of them escaped to a secret hiding place that they had made up their mind if it ever happened, they'd run to that place. And the only ones that they really took prisoner then, after they killed all the men, was two women. In those days, the women cleaned the animals. They skinned them. They'd taken two squaws with them. They'd been brought to skin to clean the animals caught by the Kickapoo hunting party. These women were hidden in the heart of the village for 7 days. On the seventh night, the medicine man dreamed that the women knew where the men that escaped had gone to. After much torture, they tortured these women. They abused these women. They raped these women. They did many, many things to them. And after much consent, they agreed to take them to where the rest of the Kickapoo tribe was. With that, every warrior in the tribe, along with the chief and the medicine man, painted for war, and they put their canoes in the river to go down to where it was. On and on, these tortured limp women led the way. They begin to talk to them. They tell them up ahead, when you round this corner, we've got to go down this river this way. We've got to go down this territory the Shawnee was not familiar with. Seems ironic that the captives became the leaders, the defeated became the guides for the entire strong Shawnee party. For days they traveled until they were deep, deep inside of Kickapoo land. And here the water began to drive them faster and faster, and the men began to wonder. The braves, the Shawnees, began to wonder, and the water moving faster, what's going on? And they begin to tell them that once you go down here, that the great river sweeps quick, and the sharp turn up here in the fork of the river. On one side was the waterfall, but there's a little fork that you can go in that will take you to a cave where the rest of the Kickapoo were hiding. Now the water's pouring so fast, and the roar of the falls is so great that the chief of the Shawnee made his men ready. But when they rounded the corner, they realized too late that there was no fork in the road. There was no fork in the river. These two Kickapoo squaws had led them this way, led them to the point that they knew they couldn't turn around. They couldn't stop now. There was no fork. It was strictly a waterfall that plunged them 300 feet down to their deaths. And the entire Shawnee tribe that they had gathered there died that day, along with the two Kickapoo squaws. It's amazing to me that the people that were the strongest were defeated by the one thing they wouldn't get rid of. I've come tonight to tell somebody in here, there's iniquity in your heart. You're going to be defeated by the thing you won't get rid of. It's iniquity. Iniquity. When you question the man of God, not because I am the man of God, but because I've heard it too many times now to not know it's true. When you start complaining, when you start finding fault with this, you start, what is it, Brother White? It's just iniquity pulling the veil off. And what's going to happen, lady? Now, all of a sudden, that thing that you've hidden in your heart's controlling you. It's leading you, sir. It's taking you where it wants you to go. I want to tell you what's fixing to happen. There's a great calamity up ahead of you. The Spirit of God's already spoke to me. There's a great calamity. It's a great calamity. It's going to cost you your soul, and it's going to cost the souls of them around you. And that blood's all going to be on your hands, ma'am. It's all going to be your fault. It's going to be on your hands. You better be careful, because if you're not very, very careful, the thing that you refuse to conquer is going to be the thing that leads you to your death. Iniquity will unveil itself, but I'm afraid it's going to be just a few moments before calamity. Stand to your feet with me and love God. You've overcome the sins of the flesh. Oh, you still struggle with a few of them. I can tell you the ones you struggle with, lady. You've overcome the transgression against the Word of God. I understand that. Don't you think it's time to overcome the spirit of iniquity, that wrong attitude, that secret sin hidden deep inside of your heart? Maybe you just didn't recognize it was there until tonight. Maybe you just recognized it through the preaching tonight. Maybe it explains the struggle you're going through. Maybe it revealed to you, lady, why you couldn't shove a prayer through with an atom bomb right now. It's possible to have iniquity and not acknowledge it. You know what the answer is? Fall on your face. Kneel at an altar and say, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God, I want you to see if there's anything wicked in me." Church, I preached this tonight for two reasons. Somebody's going to be in trouble. Somebody is headlong rushing for trouble. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to destroy their spouse. They're going to destroy some of their family if they're not careful. But the other reason I'm preaching it is because I've got to equip my church. The second you hear idle talk, the second somebody says something seething, the second somebody refuses to worship, the second somebody refuses to kneel at an altar, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to chide them. You just know in your heart that iniquity just unveiled itself for you. I want to be saved. I don't want anybody leaving. I got a lot of announcements to make. Some of them are very important. You'll need to hear them. God bless you. I think maybe somebody needs to come to this altar today. God sent me with a strong word. I've delivered a strong word. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who knows it? Who knows it? You know, I'd almost be scared just to sit there tonight because you're telling everybody who you are. I'd be scared. I would fall on my face tonight and beg God to touch me. Iniquity unveiled. Iniquity unveiled.